It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Not great weather. Yesterday it was cold. Saturday it was rainy, but today it looks like it's going to be 70 and sunny, so off to a good start to a new week. Darren McFarland, that's me, down here on the south side of town in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick is holding fort, as he's been for the last almost 2 months now, I guess. 6.5 weeks, something like that, since we've been doing the show at home over in East Nashville. Chase McCabe in Bellevue and on the west side.
Good morning.
Here we go. Yeah, good little intro music for him. And Marquise Munson back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, which is our Wholesale Inc. game studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We've actually got a ton to get into today. We'll obviously react to the highest-rated NFL draft ever, and it wasn't even close. No shocker there because of the circumstances that we're in. Who's kidding who? It was the only live sports we had. So, of course, we knew the ratings would be through the roof, and they were. We will break that down. John Robinson, Titans general manager, will join us at 1 o'clock. Teron Davenport in the on-deck circle in about 15 minutes. We'll also talk to a person on more of a national level in the second hour, and we'll head east and talk with Vince at noon. How about Daryl Taylor going very early in this draft to Seattle? So we'll get into all that and more. Juwan Jennings also getting drafted in the seventh round. Guys, how you doing?
I am doing well. It's great to be back on, and this is certainly going to be a fun day. As you said, Darren, I found myself, I didn't know how much I would watch, but I watched more of a draft than I've ever watched before. That's for certain. I saw almost every pick. In fact, I think I might have missed one pick that the Titans made because I was going to pick up food for carryout on, I guess that would be Saturday night that I missed. I missed one of the picks, the second or third round, but I thought they did a good job in the coverage once again, and it was nice to have something to cover and sink your teeth into.
Yeah, I agree with all that. And I admitted this with Ryan. You know, I didn't think, because usually on Saturday, I pay attention, but I don't sit there and watch, you know, the whole thing. I watched the majority of it on Saturday. I was sitting there, and I mean, I was doing some other things around the house, but I was watching the fourth round, and then the fifth, and then the sixth, and then the seventh, and just stayed with it. And I think that's why the ratings are the way they are with, and I know a majority of that is the first round, you know, the primetime rounds, but I definitely paid attention through the course of the weekend.
And congratulations to Nashville being a top 10 market throughout the draft. That was for Thursday, the combination of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Nashville faring very well. I guess more a hat tip to the state of Ohio. Wow, Columbus was the number one market. Cleveland was the number two market. And Cincinnati was fifth overall. So they had three of their markets in their state in the top five viewing of the NFL draft when you combine ABC, ESPN, and the NFL Network. That's pretty impressive, especially since Columbus was number one, and they don't even have a team, which is pretty impressive. I guess maybe all the Ohio State guys getting drafted probably helped enhance their viewing, but they're sandwiched right in the middle of the state in between Cincinnati and Cleveland, so maybe it's the best of both worlds. You get both fan bases, and you've got that big Ohio State fan base, but they were the number one market in the country. Philadelphia was three. Kansas City was four, actually tied with Cincinnati at four. Then Atlanta, Jacksonville. This surprised me. I didn't think Jacksonville cared about anything, even though they are an NFL market, but they had a nice showing in the top 10, Nashville right after Jacksonville. Then it was Milwaukee, Denver, and Baltimore finishing things out. So a good showing here in this market. If I'm just being totally honest, we'll get into a lot of stuff with John Robinson, obviously coming up in a bit, but I was a little surprised with the wide receiver depth, and we certainly talked about this a lot on Friday, and I made my feelings known that they should draft one of those speedy receivers. But in fairness, all the guys that we were bringing up on Friday, especially the ones I said I really liked, they all went before their pick in the second round. All those guys that we were bringing up, they all went. So it was a heavy run on wide receivers, and I do wonder if one or some of those guys were available, if they would have pulled the trigger, or is because of what happened the reason that they went Christian Fulton, or was Christian Fulton their guy all along?
That's what I'm curious about. I do think that they valued, well, and this is my opinion, but I think they value corner over receiver. And so I like going ahead and taking Christian Fulton there. But to your point, there were plenty of receivers available. Even in the fifth round, when they went defensive line, there were some good receivers. I mean, the pick before the Titans was a kid that, you know, that I think would have been a good fit. Obviously, he wasn't there, so that could have changed their plans. But Gandy Golden was somebody that was drafted in the later rounds that I felt could have been a fit. It was just such a deep receiver class. I was very surprised that they did not address that position. I know they've signed three undrafted free agent wide receivers, but I'm curious to know John Robinson's thoughts about that. And I know he spoke on it a little bit in his Zoom press conference, but we'll ask him about it today as well.
I think I thought
they stuck with their philosophy in a couple of different ways. We definitely had a discussion about when you build a pretty good roster that doesn't have any gaping holes where you're thinking, boy, we've got to have help here. You're able to select and address a mild need as the draft comes. I thought it was a good balance between drafting for need and drafting on value and best available. And I think the young man from LSU is a good example of a guy that had a notch against him that probably moved him down the board some. And they were willing to do their homework on it. They felt okay about it. Now, time will tell if they're right. But I think they feel confident based on their system that they use with Jeffrey Simmons that, you know, the guy, you know, he put a fake drug sample in there. I don't know if it was anything beyond marijuana that was in his system. But I think it's something that, you know, with each passing year, there's a little different view on how marijuana is looked upon. And I think they were willing to live with that. And they're saying, here's a guy that would have otherwise been in the first round that's there late in the second round. I think if you look, they've done a few moves like that over the past. And I guess the wide receiver that they were looking for just wasn't really there. I think it probably hurt them in that respect not having a fourth or a sixth rounder, right? I think that probably that had a big factor there, that they just weren't able to – they didn't have physically enough picks to get there. By the time they got to the seventh round, they even traded one of their picks. I guess they just didn't like the board that much at that time.
They traded
the Jarrell Casey pick from Denver. So
to get
now
a sixth
round pick. So Jarrell Casey for a sixth round pick. Does that make anybody feel any better?
No. But so, I mean, surprised.
And maybe you turn that into a fifth round pick next year.
Well, that's
what
everybody's wondering is the money. What will they do with the money? They still have the money that they cleared. So is that Clowney? I think we all suspect the way they approach the draft board, that's a possibility, right? They didn't draft a guy really at that position. There's still it would still be a nice fit based on their roster right now, and they have Casey's money to work with.
Yeah, and today the 3 o'clock deadline is something that people need to pay attention to, because after 3 o'clock today,
3 o'clock Central or Eastern?
Central. They don't have to give up the compensatory picks, and so I think you're going to see some free agents a la Jadeveon Clowney. You know, they could go ahead and sign after that 3 o'clock deadline, because now teams don't, you know, there's no compensatory picks.
Well, it'd be foolish at this point. Yeah. If you've waited till now, you'd be an absolute fool to do it before 3 o'clock, right? I mean,
right.
Come on.
So I think that's definitely
something. That makes a big difference, too, not giving up a pick.
Sure.
That's huge.
Sure.
Right. We've seen that in baseball now, where some really good players have been sitting there until I can't remember what the date is Darren May 1st or June 1st. Craig Kimbrell was in that position last year where he was signable to anybody, but nobody wanted to give up a high draft pick to sign him. Once that was gone, then market was wide open and a lot of teams were jumping in there.
So if you guys had to make a guess right now, Clowney to Nashville, what's your answer?
I say yes. That's my gut feeling, and but I would put it at what? I would put it at 60%. 60-65%. I like their chances. There's always a chance somebody just overpays and goes nuts, but I think Clowney wants to be in Tennessee, and I think the Titans want him.
I'd say my floor is 70%. My ceiling is 75 today.
So that's you're feeling pretty good about it.
That it happens today or it happens?
No, that it happens.
Sometime.
Okay. You're just asking. You're asking me today the way I feel about it. I would say range game, I'm hitting the button between 70 and 75%.
Well, I'm right there with you. I was going to say 70%. I didn't really have a range, but I would say 70% yes. I think they get it done. And I feel even more confident about that based on that they did not draft an edge rusher. That goes back to the conversations that we've had of, okay, well, they probably know something that we don't. Just a hunch.
I mean, I think it's pretty good, but I think at this point we all know what this is down to. I mean, it's just a matter of getting the price right. And John Robinson's doing the right thing. He is not willing to overpay. And the fact that he's been patient and they're still in the mix means he's doing it the right way, because they didn't just jump out there and just say, we want him and we don't care, you know. How many times have you heard me use this example? You don't ever walk on the car lot and say, that is my favorite car. I've got to have this car. Now let's negotiate. The car dealership's going to laugh. Well, you just told me it's your favorite car and you've got to have it. So why would I negotiate with you? You're going to pay sticker price because you want it. You know what I mean? Don't show your hand. And clearly, you know, nobody has to this point. And I think I'd be surprised if the sticker price is more than $15 million a year at this point for Clowney. I think it's probably dropped into that $15 million range.
Isn't that what John Clayton told us a few weeks ago? That he felt like it would be?
Yeah. In fact, didn't he say somewhere between 13 and 15, something to that effect? And I think that's probably where it's going to come in at. And I think everybody can live with that. I mean, give me a break. If you sign Vic Beasley for $9.5 million plus incentives, you can be okay with Clowney for between 13 and 15 million a year. Give me a break.
Yeah. If they got him on like a 2-year deal, 13 million a year, sign me up.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's going to be that easy. I think that's easy to say. My guess is it's not that easy. Hence why they haven't signed him. If it's 2 years for 30 million, are you signing up for that? Guaranteed?
Sure. 2 years, 30 million? Yeah.
I would too.
I would do that.
Guarantee it. I would look.
That's a lot.
It is, but
it's a lot for a guy that gets hurt a lot.
But he's 27. I mean, I get.
No, I want him. I think you're trying to win. You've got the money. That's. I don't see anybody else. Other than Logan Ryan, who I'd love to have back, but I think the money is better spent on Clowney because of his age and the ceiling there.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, we'll talk to about that and a lot more with Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter. He covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. Talking with TD. We do that next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. All right, it's time to talk with TD. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter.
The song
for
was
ESPN.
Played last night. I heard this song last night.
Yeah, they did a good job with the music last night on The Last Dance, and we'll certainly get into that.
Although, I think Teron can back me up on this, because I own the album, Cool Moe Dee. That album came out a couple years before the first title of the Bulls. That album was out in the 80s, because I was in high school, and they did not win the first title until 91. But
did you have
still,
the album, or did you have the cassette?
Well, it was the cassette. Was the cassette,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. Teron, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Just like Cool Moe Dee said, coming back like Return of the Jedi.
That's right.
Have you been watching The Last Dance?
I did. Yeah, I've been watching. Of course, man. That's the best program on television right now. I watched Volume 2 again, and then I watched 3 and 4. And loved it, man. It's a great program. And I love the music selection. I think the best was that 86 game 2 against the Celtics when they used LL, I'm Bad. That was, yeah. Whoever's doing that, definitely give them props.
That's right.
Yeah, I think of guys like Marquise and Elijah and Chase who did it for a long time. Like that. I know, like, for them, that when you have that mindset – they can appreciate that. I'm sure those guys were like, oh, yeah, that good bump right there. That's
ear
a perfect
candy,
spot
baby.
For that, right? Exactly.
Got to have that ear candy.
Yeah, that's
good.
That's
the tone.
What's jumped up before we get into this football stuff? What has jumped out to you the most about the four episodes that we've seen?
I think I kind of forgot how good Scottie Pippen was. That's what's really jumped out the most to me. And I forgot how much Phil Jackson's offense changed just the individual statistical impact that Michael Jordan had. Those are the two things for me. But I'll be honest with you, you know, I grew up a Knicks fan and I always hated those Bulls teams. So it's cool going back and watching it from this perspective. Because I could just appreciate it. You know, back then, I'm like, man, forget Jordan. Couldn't afford a pair of Jordans anyway, but didn't want them just because it was Jordan who always killed my Knicks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you know,
I was the same way. I never rooted for the Jordan teams. I had the utmost respect for him, but, you know, I guess I didn't like just the waves and waves of praise. I thought they captured it pretty well, though. You got in the retrospect, because at the time, there's no question, there was a lot of that, Jordan can't win the big one. He's got all the flash, he wins the scoring titles, but they can't win. And so the fact that they had to work so hard to build up to winning a championship, they captured that pretty well last night. Because that was a big thing that we kind of forget because he ends up with six titles.
I learned a little bit more about the Phil Jackson. I didn't know the background of Phil Jackson. I mean, I know that the last time the Knicks were real powerhouses in the NBA, Phil Jackson played for the Knicks. Sorry, Teron. But I didn't know much from his playing days, but I didn't know much about, you know, him starting off in – and where did he go? Puerto Rico? Where did he go? Costa Rica? I don't even remember his first –
Yeah, Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, like his first stop, and then to the ABA. Was it the ABA? Or no, it
CBA.
Was CBA.
The CBA.
Yeah,
he won a CBA championship.
Won the CBA championship in, what, 84? And then, you know, just how the whole dynamic between Collins and Tex Winter and Phil Jackson. I have, you know, I lived through a lot of this, so a lot of this stuff is not surprising to me. But that dynamic I didn't know much about, and I've been pretty intrigued by that.
He also liked to coach in jeans, which is a big thing. Good
he
style.
Right.
I've still never seen that. He liked to ride the plane in jeans and the rugby shirt or the flannel shirt and coach in the jeans at practice.
He's a very laid-back dude. Part.
Yeah, one thing that did jump out to me, if you think today is the first time players started playing games, card games, and games on the team plane, yeah, just go back and watch this and realize that stuff's been going on for about as long as they've had team planes, I suspect. So what did you make of the six picks that John Robinson, who we'll have on today at 1 o'clock, what did you make of the picks?
Well, I thought initially the Isaiah Wilson pick, you know, it's a good pick for what they want to do, and they actually managed to have the board play out perfectly for them. I think, and I'm actually writing now about the fit that Isaiah Wilson has for the Titans from many perspectives. So I think that was a good fit. I just don't know if it's going to give them an immediate impact. But still, you know, when you could get a player like that that will help you in the future, it's a good option. The pick of all picks that I feel – they absolutely hit a home run with is Christian Fulton. And you guys know that I've been really high on his game. And he's a player that I know, you know, if you look at the Texas game, he struggled. You look at the Clemson game, he had struggles there with T. Higgins. But if you look at his overall body of work, and especially that Alabama game, he brings a lot to the table. And it's interesting because he will fit that bill as far as one of the guys that could bump inside and give him a nickel player, in addition to just being, you know, what I call putting the straps on receivers on the outside. So I think that's a really good pick. The other one I liked was Chris Jackson. And I didn't watch a lot of him coming into this. I didn't really know much about him. But going back and watching him, scrappy guy, he's gonna be a nickel option for them too. And they did, in fact, double down at corner. He is the double down. So it's Fulton and Jackson. So they got both of those guys to come in and help out. So I think overall it was a solid draft. I really want to see what Murchison does. I talked to one of my friends in Frisco, Texas, who actually trained Murchison, and I got a lot of really good things just as far as work ethic and his strength and power that he brings to the table. So it's going to be interesting seeing how that works out. I'm not a big fan of the Cole McDonald pick. I know everybody loves the dreads, which are gone, and, you know, the Aloha spirit, you know, him being a quarterback from University of Hawaii. But I'm not enamored with the pick the way some others are. But, I mean, it screams developmental to me. But I think when you look at that, this tells us that Logan Woodside is going to be the backup quarterback, and that's really the direction that they're going. And can't forget about the home run ability that Darrington Evans brings. That's something that is going to really help that offense. And he's the type of back that, if need be, he could carry the load. But I just like the fact that he has that speed, vision, and one-cut ability, along with the home run hitting ability, that is going to really work in this outside zone. That was one of the things I asked him about. So I think they're in good shape there, and that he's a guy that could 10 to 15 carries and give you a pretty good impact.
Now, I know you just spoke glowingly of Christian Fulton, but I ask you this question because on Friday I talked a lot about, and we had, you know, guys on to break down the draft like Dan Chonka and others, and we spoke with you on Friday, and the speedy receiver that I think they desperately, desperately need. And the more we talked about it, and the more we talked to people on Friday, I was like, second round, if a guy, you know, like Hamler is there, a little guy, but a fast, fast guy, or even a Claypool, the kid out of Notre Dame, or the Mims kid out of Baylor, two big kids, but are really fast. You know, it's weird to see 6'3 and 6'4 guys that fast. If they're there, the Titans have to jump on them. Now, Mims lasted the longest, and he was the 59th pick, so he was two picks before theirs. I say this to say, did that change their course? If one of those guys is there, do they draft a receiver, or was it Christian Fulton all along, in your opinion?
I think it was Fulton and Diggs, like that. Somebody in that grouping, I think that's what it was all along, Jalen Johnson. I think it was somebody in that second tier all along for them. And granted, getting a speed guy would be really good, but I don't think if you're going to mention speed guy, I don't think you should mention Chase Claypool, to be honest with you, because, yeah, he ran a fast 40, but I challenge you to show me instances where that showed up on film. And that's the thing that a lot of us have a problem from this combine. Like you look at these measurables and say, okay, well, he ran this, so that means he's going to be a – no, it doesn't work that way.
And I actually liked Hamler and Mims. If I was ranking them, I liked those two above Claypool. But his size and speed did intrigue me, but I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and even, you know, the thing with Mims, and I like Mims, but one of the things that really – as I was talking about other prospects, one of the things that kept on coming up when I was talking about cornerbacks is, hey, go watch the Baylor game. He had a really good game against Mims. And it started to happen over and over and over again. Now, that being said, I wouldn't, you know, be one to say, hey, he's not going to be a good prospect, you know, a good player. I think he's going to be a good player, but that's something to kind of be concerned about. And end of the day, I really feel like they – are confident in what they have with Khalif Raymond. And to be honest with you, when called upon, he delivered moment after moment after moment. So, you know, I think it's just a matter of being pleased with what he's brought to the table. And then you do have to look, you know, they signed Mason Kinsey, who is a vertical receiver. Christian Wilkerson, I really want you guys to watch him because from SEMO, he's a very good player also. So they got some guys that can help him from a vertical standpoint.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. We're breaking down the Titans draft. Teron, I just had a thought, and I don't know if John Robinson addressed this at all. I didn't see anything. But do you think that they at all have thought of McDonald, the quarterback from Hawaii, as a guy that could be a little change of pace because he's a guy that's got a great vertical jump? He's pretty fast. I don't know if he can catch the ball at all, but do you think they envision at all exploring that, a Taysom Hill kind of guy? I don't think there's anybody like him, but a guy that you could put in a package or two?
Yeah, I think that is something that they talked about internally. They didn't talk about that with McDonald because that's exactly what I asked him on the conference call, and he said that he had a video conference with Art Smith, Coach Art, the OC, and with Coach Pat, the quarterback coach. So I would imagine that's something because, again, and if you look at his highlight reel, you know, he has that one where he runs, you know, the option, and he goes around and he outruns everybody to the end zone. I think he is a guy you can have that package with, but if you're going to do that, he's going to be one of your active players. So what other position are you going to be short on if you're going to carry three quarterbacks? That's what you have to consider. So we'll see what happens there.
Yeah, that's a good point for sure. He would almost have to be your backup quarterback. It would work out a lot better that way. And as you said, he probably won't be ready to do that, at least in the first year. And Logan Woodside, now you have to say his odds go way up. Do you think they still, though, bring in a veteran to go along and compete with Woodside?
I mean, it's possible. It's just all going to be about how the dollars and cents work because, I mean, backup quarterbacks are getting good amounts of money now. You know, so you look at what Taysom Hill got, and obviously he's more than a backup, but, I mean, we're talking about $10 million for a guy to do what he does. So I think it's really going to come down to what they do with that remaining money on the that they have left over as far as cap space is concerned. Is that going to go towards Clowney? Is that going to go towards, I don't believe so, bringing Logan Ryan back? It really just depends on what they do with that money.
Teron, just a thought I had, and we talked about it some on Friday, where I think John Robinson looks a lot of things. Where do I get a little extra value on a guy that maybe otherwise, under other circumstances, would go higher on the board if it was strictly about talent? With Christian Fulton and his background situation where he had to sit out a whole year because of using a different urine sample, I don't know what – I'm sure they did some pretty heavy homework in that. But if it were marijuana, I do think it's – I find it interesting. I wonder how different teams feel about that whole situation. Depending on what state you're in especially, but in general.
Willie, you're breaking up pretty bad.
Has more first-round value.
Yeah, I think Fulton has first-round value, and, I mean, the fact that he fell to the bottom half of the second round is interesting, but, I mean, he's not the first prospect to fall. And I think when they're looking at that, I think it's bigger than just the marijuana. I think a lot of the issues that these evaluators had was just the dishonesty, you know, and submitting a sample that wasn't his. But, you know, Mike Vrabel did a good job of just explaining how he feels that Christian Fulton is a good person and made a bad mistake. And, you know, this is similar to what happened last year, you know, with the whole Jeffrey Simmons saga. So I think end of the day, I mean, yeah, it was a mistake the kid made. It definitely cost him But I think that is going to be of gain to the Titans because now they have a prospect that had first-round talent falling to them, and he's going to mix right in with that group of defensive backs. I think that secondary is going to be pretty solid.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. So looking at this roster right now, I still say it's incomplete. They have some things that they can tweak here and there, maybe some other free agents that can be added. But looking at Jadeveon Clowney specifically in the pass rush, an edge rusher that they did not address in the draft, what odds would you give the Titans in signing Clowney? Do you believe he's going to be here?
I do. I think he's going to be here. I would say 70% odds. I think there's a good, well, let's 60%, I would say. There's still, the Seahawks are still in the mix, in my opinion. So I think there are the odds, but I tell you this much, if he doesn't come to the Titans, I don't think it's time to cancel Christmas. I still think that defense could be good. I obviously feel like they need to add a total game record like Clowney. But, I mean, that's the beauty of this game. You have a player. I mean, who would have thought Shaq Barrett would do what he did last year? And, you know, sometimes everything hits. All the numbers to the safe fall into place, and you unlock something that's amazing. And that could happen, you know, with a Vic Beasley. A Harold Landry, you know, they have a pretty good group. Now, to get a great group, they would have to bring in Clowney. But, I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, just thinking about Landry and Beasley and Clowney, all there is pass rushers that you can rotate in and out. I love the thought of that. But, as you say, time will tell, and we'll see what happens a little later this week or in the coming weeks. With Jadeveon Clowney. The offseason program begins today virtually. I saw Mike Vrabel tweeted out a countdown that he was excited for that. What all can we expect from that? Obviously a different time. This is new, but the virtual meetings and everything that they're able to do with these guys.
Really is just a matter of install, right? You know, going back and looking at some of the concepts they're going to use, but more importantly, it's just an opportunity to get everybody together at the same time and just to push each other. They'll be doing training and things like that. But, you know, that's pretty much the extent of it. There's only so much you could do from a virtual standpoint.
Yeah, I agree. And I know Mike Vrabel said in the press conferences that, you know, it's just accountability on a lot of these guys, that the teams that are able to stay ahead and actually be diligent in their work during this time where they can't physically be together are the ones that are really going to stand out. I know that was a message he tried to deliver over the weekend and even before.
Yeah, without a doubt. So, you know, it is an opportunity for the guys to come together. And like you said, they won't physically be there, but, you know, still there are opportunities for guys to kind of to compete and even to take that leadership role, because that's something else we talked about, right? You know, with Casey and Woodyard being gone, you know, these are captains. Logan Ryan not around. These are guys who, you know, had the leadership role. So now the guys next up, whether it be Kevin Byard, who was a captain last year, but, you know, Derrick Henry, these are guys who will have opportunities to lead in their own way, whatever that may be. And I think that's a good thing for them as they continue to develop leadership.
Last thing, Teron, do you think they're okay going through the season not kicking field goals kind of like they did last year, or do you think they're going to have a kicker this year, and who's it going to be?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see the issue with Greg Joseph, honestly.
You like him?
I'm not sure. He hasn't proven any reason not to. I mean, they like him, so, you know, they're seeing something that you know, stands out to them. And here's the thing, right? Everybody went crazy about this Rodrigo Blankenship. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hilarious to me, you know, how not drafting him or signing him is supposedly going to cost them, you know, a game against the Colts. He was a solid kicker, but there were other kickers that were better, and that's why you saw three of them get drafted, specifically Tyler Bass from Georgia Southern. So, you know, I don't think that not drafting a kicker is going to be the downfall of this franchise. And Greg Joseph is fine as kicker. I don't see what the issue is. I know there are reports that they signed the Missouri kicker, so there will be competition there. There's nothing wrong with competition at the position.
Okay. I was just curious because I thought maybe there was a chance when you're in the seventh round, look, you know, you're just absolutely grabbing a handful of darts and throwing them on a board and hope something sticks, that maybe, who knows, maybe they pull the trigger on a kicker in the seventh round, but obviously they didn't. So I was just curious how you felt. So you think Greg Joseph is the guy?
Right now, that's the guy. I mean, I think that's what they're telling us for the most part. You know, they didn't draft a kicker. They've said it multiple times that they're confident in Joseph, but they brought in a rookie free agent to give him some competition.
Good stuff. Who do you have on this week? Do you know?
We're still working some things out. I have one of Christian Fulton's trainers. I have Trey Thomas from the Philadelphia Eagles to break down Isaiah Wilson. I have George Foster, who played for the Broncos and actually played for Georgia. I'm working on those guys, but we just have to work through a few things. But, yeah, we'll have something.
Are you sure that's not George Foster that played for the Mets, Teron?
Hey, listen, that's when I first saw his name a couple of years ago, that's what I thought, man. Number 15 with those pork chop sideburns, man.
The black bat. That's what I always remember, right. The black bat.
The black beauty bat, yeah. Big red machine.
Hey, TD, right. Jalen Hurts to the Eagles. We didn't ask you about that. What do you think about that pick?
I sent him a text, and I said, hey, man, I told him where to get cheesesteaks, and I told him just, you know, continue to have that thick skin. I like the pick, and here's the thing. Carson Wentz has been injured every year since his senior year in high school. So it is inevitable not to wish injury, because I really like Carson. I wrote a book about him and everything, you know, but it's inevitable that Hurts will get an opportunity to play. I think the pick is a really good pick. And, you know, he's going to win the Eagles fans over once he gets a chance to show what he could do. And don't be surprised if they have a package. I really think Peterson is going to have a package for him to have an impact, even when Carson Wentz is playing.
Just remember, the Eagles quarterback depth chart is going to read Wentz Hurts. So just keep that in mind. Teron, thank you so much for the visit. Always good to talk to you. And we'll check out your podcast this week.
Thank you, fellas. You guys take it easy.
All right, you too. Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast.
I don't even know if that's a dad joke. I mean, it's a fact, but it just...
What is dad joke?
No, it's a New York Post headline.
What does that even mean, honestly? What, like, I don't understand the whole dad... What does that mean? Dad joke.
A dad joke is... I mean,
I'm asking Chase. Willie, I'm asking Chase. What is a dad joke? You threw it out there. What is a dad joke?
A dad joke is a joke that is viewed by, I guess, younger people as, like, it's funny, but only like people with kids and that are just being, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. Cause I laugh at them.
A Wentz Hurts quarterback depth chart joke is a dad joke?
Kind of, yeah.
I
think most dad jokes are funny, which I don't know what that says about me, but like I think they're usually funny. So that's why I said I don't know if Wentz Hurts is really a dad joke, because it's a fact. I mean, that is the depth chart. That is how it's going to read. But
no, I got to give Darren credit. Wentz Hurts is more of a clever New York Post headline. I can see that in a New York headline after the Giants sack Wentz and put him out of the game and Hurts comes in and the Giants win. I think that could be a perfect headline on Monday's newspaper. A dad joke is more of an old joke, I think, and a joke that younger people think is corny, but they have to admit it's kind of funny.
That's a better way.
They don't want
to
laugh.
Right, then that's not a dad joke. That's my point. If that's a dad joke, we're really lazy with the term dad joke.
Well, and that's why I said I don't think it's really a dad joke. It's more of a fact. But then we got into explaining what a dad joke is.
Right, but you called it a dad joke.
No, I said I don't think it's really a dad joke. That's how I started this whole conversation.
Did you or did you not call it a dad joke?
Roll back the tape, Marquise. Roll the tape. I just think we use that a little too much.
On the
I think we
court
get
now, like what the hell?
The whole dad joke stuff. Like that's just I thought that was funny. I mean, what's
It was funny. I'm not saying it's not, and I'm not saying dad jokes are
dad
bad.
Dad jokes can be funny, but that
I think
was
dad
not
jokes
dad
are funny. Why is it such a bad connotation that dad jokes aren't funny? Come on.
Willie makes dad jokes all the time,
and I think they're funny sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, I mean, I didn't say they're all funny, but
right.
None of the jokes
I think
were
that's part
funny.
Of the dad joke. Some dad jokes are just simply not funny, or they're funny because they're not funny.
What was the one that you made about a canoe that became a promo?
That was Willie usually
row a boat.
Willie
canoe.
Usually footnotes his jokes like, okay, before I say this dad joke, he like, you know, he just goes on and gives it the title dad joke, and then because that's he did that with that joke, which was, you know, I thought it was funny. It's corny, but it was funny. I'm going to play a game with you guys when we come back. Emory Hunt is going to kick off the second hour. When we come back, I'm going to give you – we're going to play the game of their odds right after the Super Bowl for this upcoming season to win the Super Bowl, and now the odds after free agency has, for the most part, wrapped up, right? The bulk of free agency and the draft. Who went up and who went down? Where are the Titans? Did they get better odds or worse odds? You ready for that? We'll do that on the other side. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And that's not a dad joke. Our buddy Jimmy Shapiro, betonline.ag. So the odds right after the Super Bowl, so the Monday after the Super Bowl, were released for every team. And now the odds, since the draft is wrapped up, are released. And these are the odds to win the Super Bowl for next year. And I ask you guys, we're going to play, did they get better or did they get worse? Okay. Let's do the Titans division, okay? Jacksonville after the Super Bowl, the Monday after the Super Bowl was 80-1. How about today? Better or worse?
Better.
I'm going to say they're about the same.
And I'm going to say both of you are wrong. How about 80-1 after the Super Bowl, 250-1.
Wow.
Way worse.
Wow.
Way worse this offseason. Well, think about it.
Yeah.
Ndakwe, gone.
Foles gone, which...
Foles gone.
You know, he got benched.
Leonard Fournette, who knows what's going to happen there. The receiver that signed with the Patriots, gone. Way worse, according to betonline.ag. In fact, they now have the worst odds in the league, tied with the Bengals and the Giants to win the upcoming Super Bowl. Bengals, wow. Jags, Giants, worst odds in the league. All three of them are 250-1. Okay.
Okay.
Let's go to one of our favorite subject matters on this show. The Houston Texans. Mm-hmm. Their odds right after the Super Bowl was 33-1. How about
worse
today?
I'm going to say lower because some of this is based on perception too. I think there was so much backlash over that trade that it can't help but go down.
Yeah, I say worse.
So both say worse?
Yep.
And you're both correct. So they go from 33-1. Obviously, when you trade away DeAndre Hopkins, I mean, come on. I don't even need to know what they did in the draft to know that your odds are going to be worse. But it's not – it didn't fall as much as I thought. They still have Deshaun Watson, I get it, and J.J. Watt when healthy. 50-1. So they go from 33-1 to 50-1, which is still –
that's about right.
Yeah, pretty good.
They also didn't have a first-round pick, so that's a –
there you go.
Another thing that makes them a little tougher to look at. They didn't get as many weapons. We'll see how they come out with this draft with what they were able to do.
Think about
they did get some high second round picks. They had the second pick in the second round, and they took Michael Pittman, wide receiver from USC, and then shortly after that, they drafted Jonathan Taylor, the running back from Wisconsin. So they had two high second round picks.
Think about. Wait, the Texans?
Indianapolis.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about the Texans.
I'm sorry. You're right. We were talking. We were doing the Colts next. My bad.
The thing about that, though, is the sentence of they traded DeAndre Hopkins and then they didn't have a first-round pick still makes no sense to me.
None. Houston took Ross Blacklock, the defensive lineman from TCU. That was their first
pick.
I
think that's a good pick, but still, the fact they didn't have a first. But, all right, moving on.
Yeah, and that was their only pick in the second round. So, I mean, they didn't have much going on, right, in the draft. So they lose DeAndre Hopkins and didn't have much when it comes to early on in the draft. Okay, now let's go to the Colts. And I was looking ahead. Their odds right after the Super Bowl were 33-1. What are their odds today after the draft and, of course, the free agency period?
I'm going to say a little better. They've upgraded a quarterback. I thought even though they didn't have a first-round pick, they got a heck of a player for that pick. And as you mentioned, they made some moves that were pretty intriguing in the second round. So I think they're pretty smart with their roster. I think their odds go up.
I'm going to say slightly up, yeah.
I've got to be honest. I would have said better with you guys.
Really?
To 3-for-3, and they stayed the same. Okay. I don't know how that's possible.
Huh.
How can you say, Philip Rivers is an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. I'm sorry. He just is. I don't care about his age. He is an upgrade from Jacoby Brissett. I don't know how, and look what they've done.
And they drafted.
We don't know. I mean, I like their draft picks. I don't know how they're going to play out, but how could you? I don't know. I disagree.
Taylor Hurts, man. They drafted Jonathan Taylor. When they did that, I didn't think the Titans would, but I was when he went off the board, I just went.
I mean, if he's anything, they've got Marlon Mack and Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, they got weapons for Philip Rivers.
Yeah. And who was the tight end they signed? They signed a good tight end. Was it the guy from the Bears, Trey Burton?
That sounds right.
Yep. I think that's right.
Yep.
Okay. Let's go to the Titans. So the Titans were 25-1 after the Super Bowl. So fresh off run to the AFC Championship game. And now, sitting here today, what are they? Better, worse, or the same?
I'm going to say it hasn't changed a whole lot, one way or the other. I would say slightly better.
I'm going to say they have stayed the same. They have not changed.
You both are incorrect. 40-1.
Well, I disagree with Jimmy on that.
Yeah. 25-1 to 40-1.
Based on what?
I would say probably losing Jarrell Casey, losing Logan Ryan. Now, this is subject
losing
to change
Jack
if
Conklin.
They sign Clowney.
Yeah, I mean, they've lost some big names.
I mean, think about it. Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan were two huge pieces to their defense. And, oh, by the way, they lost their DC.
Yep.
Pease is retired. Like, how I don't think if you look at that on defense, how could you not say that they have not taken a step back on defense? Now, who knows? Who knows what Vic Beasley is going to look like? Who knows? These odds will definitely change if they sign Clowney. But today, how could that surprise you?
I disagree pretty strongly with both the Colts.
And you lose Conklin, by the way.
And the Titans. Yeah. But I disagree with Jimmy, our buddy, on both the Colts and the Titans. I don't think they're looking progressively. They're looking back.
I can't
assume that because the roster is different from last year that it's not going to be better.
Well, the roster is still incomplete, though, and I think that that's what they're looking at. I mean, this roster today, there are some things I like about it, but I still think it needs work.
Now, if you think about it for just a minute, it'll be pretty easy to see how to answer this. Who do you think had the best jump?
The best jump of anyone?
Mm-hmm.
The biggest jump to win the Super Bowl.
To being better. Mm-hmm.
Dallas
was 16-1, and after the draft today, they're 18-1. They feel like they got worse.
Really? Okay. Willie?
AFC or NFC?
I'll give you the hint, and just so we can finish this up. It's so obvious. Come on, just think about it. Do I really need to tell you the conference? It's so easy. Who made the splash in the offseason? Come on. The splash. Like the Ohio State.
Tampa.
Come on. 66-1 to 12-1.
Wow.
They have the fourth best odds of any team to win the Super Bowl. They have better odds than the Saints.
How big of a jump did Miami take?
By the way, New England went from 9-1 to 25-1.
Makes sense.
Who did you ask about?
Miami.
We know Miami is going to be
so
better,
New England's
right?
Still 25-1. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, they go from 9-1 though. That's a pretty steep fall. Miami is a was
it's a
100
steep fall,
to 1.
But it's still a lot of faith that they're still going to be good, even though you look at that roster and you're like, okay,
yeah.
Tell me how they do anything on offense.
Yeah, true. I'm with you. And who knows? It may fall even further than that. The Dolphins went from 100-1 to 80-1.
Okay, so they did get better.
Mm-hmm. Arizona went from 80-1 to 50-1 after the draft. So they like what the Cardinals did. And, of course, they get DeAndre Hopkins. And there you go. There's your biggest movers with that game. All right, we'll come back. Embry Hunt, we'll get his – we'll kind of look at all the teams, see what he thought, who were the big winners and losers in the NFL draft. We do that to kick off the second hour. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.